AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another big night of European action. Celtic are out of the Champions League after losing on penalties in Kazakhstan. It's now over to Rangers. Can Russell Martin alleviate some of the heat with a win against the odds in Bruges? And Hibs and Aberdeen lie in wait as they look to complete the set with more success than we got last night when they take place tomorrow. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this evening, you've got Simon Donnelly and Jim Duffy. A very, very busy midweek.
Yeah, and disappointing is, I think, to say the least, on Celtic's performance and ultimate result. Gordon in the Champions League qualifier against Kyrat. I think because, you know, the quarter of the opposition wasn't brilliant. I think that, and having two games to get the job done and failing to do so has obviously angered an awful lot of Celtic fans. Rangers, you know, really up against it tonight at Bruges. And both Scottish clubs, Aberdeen and Hibs, still have an awful lot to do. So, yeah, it could be a very tumultuous week in European competition for the Scottish teams.
I think you've had an easy run on this show, Simon Donnelly.
Have I?
I think you've had the neatest. Been Celtic positivity mostly since you joined us. Are you prepared for this? Are you okay?
Look into the future, or do we have to go?
Oh, you want to just focus on the Rangers game tonight? I can't promise you that when these phone lines open.
No, listen, just frustrated, disappointed last night over the piece. As Jim says, you look at the team from Kazakhstan, Kyrat, you would have probably handpicked them in the qualifying ties to try and navigate through to the Champions League proper. And it just didn't happen. Over the two legs last night, probably not even as good as last week, because I think Celtic last week had 15, 20 minutes after half time where you thought, yeah, there might be a goal coming. I didn't see a goal coming last night. The longer the game went on, I think the manager's touched on it himself, the levels of quality were not there. Maeda has a fantastic chance towards the end, but out with that, you know, Celtic could have played all night and not scored. It was a disappointing performance. And yeah, we have to accept it and move on. But, you know, it's one that the fans will find it hard to take, because the Champions League, the taste of it last year, getting to the knockouts, it's where they all want to be. So it's a big disappointment.
Disappointment, that's one word. I wonder if you've got anything a bit stronger out there within the realms of a family show, obviously. Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Sum it all up, Celtic fans. In many ways, this is the culmination of everything we've been debating on here for weeks, really, since the season started, over the summer, maybe even since last season. How are you feeling after last night? Where did it go wrong? Who's to blame? Does everybody take a bit of the blame? What about the performance, the manager, tactics? Everything comes under focus, doesn't it, when there's a disappointment of that scale? And then, of course, I think the biggest picture, the one that's been hanging over everything: why were there no players brought in before now to help with the Champions League? Of course, you can make the argument, as the guys have, opposition from Kazakhstan. You should probably look to beat them already with what is in the building. But still, to have some of the players playing last night, is that the ideal preparation for Champions League qualification? Do let us know all your thoughts. There's so much goes into this. Like we said, players on the pitch, manager in the dugout, board, transfer business, all the rest of it, and we'll try and work our way through it between now and 8 o'clock. Rangers fans, you're not off the hook either, though, are you? Because it's a huge night for you over in Bruges. You might have had a good old chuckle last night, because that's how football rivalry works, and we'll never change it. But what about your own business tonight? Can you pull that off? A 3-1 defeat. It was a terrible opening half last week. It really sent shockwaves around, with fans leaving after 20 minutes and all the rest of it. Have you given yourself a chance with that one goal in the second half? What do you think about tonight's team as well? Because again, there's been so much debate. We know Hamza Igaman is on his way out. Should James Tavernier come back in? What's happening with him? All of a sudden he's been the most maligned player for a couple of seasons, but fans want him back in at the expense of Max Ahrens. Is it Raskin? Is it Rothwell? Is it both? How do you want to line up tonight? Can you pull it off? What does Russell Martin need to do? Because he's been getting an awful lot of stick in recent weeks on this show. It's not getting any better domestically. Can he do something in Europe tonight? So again, please, 01419511025. We should have team news certainly before this hour is out. So until such a time, you just come on and tell us what you want. If you do want to look ahead to Hibs and Aberdeen tomorrow, you can do it. More than welcome. We'd love to hear from you. But I've got a funny feeling last night's events in Kazakhstan are going to dominate Jim Duffy, because as I alluded to there, and I'm hoping fans will now fill in the blanks on the phone, there's a lot going into this. This is not just a disappointing night on the pitch and these things happen. It's just so much more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think a lot of people kind of saw it coming to a certain extent, including the manager. You know, the manager has been quite open in most of the interviews he's done, Gordon. I think you probably interviewed him yourself at certain times, and he is continually, normally managers will kind of bat away a lot of the recruitment side of it, but he's continually said that, you know, we know where we need to strengthen, and, you know, particularly in the forward areas. Obviously then they get the injury to Alistair Johnson, and that highlighted, you know, maybe another area. And then, you know, obviously Kieran Tierney's the only recognised left back after Greg Taylor left. And, you know, certain things you don't foresee sometimes that adds to the squad. But listen, the market is incredibly inflated just now.
Let's go to the phones, because they are lighting up quite something. Peter is first up. Peter, how would you sum up your mood after last night?
My mood? Well, Gordon, thanks for taking my call in the first place. My mood? I was trying to phone you last night, but my temper got the better of me. I phoned 2 weeks ago, and I was talking to Hugh Evans, and Hugh Evans had a pop at me because I was slagging trusty Engels, Ida. No, honest to God, last night's performance is an absolute embarrassment. Rangers losing, if Rangers were playing that team last night, Rangers would have wiped the floor with them home and away. I don't care what anybody says. The Rodgers knows fine well the board isn't going to back him. These two signings that apparently they were brought in as signings too little too late. It's time for Celtic to massively clear it. We are a team of a shambolic mess. The board were backing on 40 million, and as a Celtic fan, I'm raging we didn't qualify, but at the same time, I'm laughing at the board because that's what they deserve, because they were banking on 40 million. There was nobody coming to Celtic Park unless we qualified for the Champions League. What is that all about? It's no good enough. Rodgers, as I say to Hugh Evans, Rodgers will not be the Celtic Park by the end of the season. He's going to walk out the front door this time with his head held high rather than walk out the back door. It's an absolutely shambolic mess. We better on a team from Kazakhstan who sent one of the players to Chelsea for 40 million, whatever it may be. And we'll get players in your team with trusty Engels. We bought Arnie Engels for the European big nights. And look at what happened to him last night. He's absolutely shocking. Ida, I said it 2 weeks ago, he's not a 9 million player. He's not even a 6 million player. He's absolutely shocking. Do you know who I would actually go out for? And now, people may laugh at me or slag me out for the rest of my days, but see that Mandron that plays for St Mirren? He's better than Ida. At least he battles. At least he knows how to put the ball in the net. Where does Celtic go for here? Because the Europa League Conference, we're going to be embarrassed in that setup because we never had the players ready for the Champions League. We never replaced Kyogo, Kuhn. But Maeda as well, he'll be away. His head is turned. His head somewhere else. He could have finished the game after the first leg and the second leg. And look at the state of the penalties last night. I knew 2 weeks ago we were only going to qualify. And Hugh Evans had a pop at me because I was slagging the signings that Brendan Rodgers brought into the club. The board have backed him to a certain extent. But when he buys the players, one, he doesn't play them. Two, when they come on, they might be rubbish and don't really get an air certain look in. And then they end up getting sold. Or when they buy a player, they come in and they're actually good and you don't see them. I just don't know where Celtic gone. Yeah. I'm happy with the board, no getting the 40 million. That might put them in a situation, and I'm glad, I'm raging that we're not qualified, but at the same time, I'm glad because the board were waiting on us to beat this team on paper. On paper, it's an absolutely shambolic mess.
Okay, you can hear the anger in Peter's voice and it covers so much ground, but like that's inevitable. That's what we said at the start. This is just a web that all contributes to this stuff. It's not like it's just one small reason. Let's cut to the core point, because I think that's the most talked about one. How much of this do you put down to recruitment failure? Players not being ready, players not being brought in?
Yeah, I mean, recruitment is obviously one the biggest talking point from Celtic's point of view. They brought in Unamura, Simpson, Pusey, Nygren, obviously Tierney. But really only Tierney and Nygren, you know, they two are obviously, you would expect them to be competing on a regular basis. The other two are young players ready to kind of supplement the squad, if you want to call it that. But again, it's a catch 22. Peter, like a lot of Celtic fans, I want Celtic to go and spend money, I want to go and make sure they get top quality players in. They spent big money on Engels and Ida, and people think that they've overpaid for them. So it's trying to get that balance right between getting what you think, paying what you think is a fair amount for a player, not going overboard about it. And when you do go overboard, you've got to be absolutely 100% that they are going to be an impact. And that is always difficult.
I know, but the problem is, because we've now got something definitive, we've got Champions League failure.
Yeah.
It's easy for Peter and thousands of others to say, well, they haven't got the balance. Mm-hmm. You know, that's fair now, isn't it?
It's absolutely fair. I mean, it's hard it's hard to defend because Celtic up against a team like Kairat should go through every day of the week. Mm-hmm. It should. And you look to the players last night, and I've written down the likes of Carl McGregor, Hatate, Maeda, Carl Vickers, Forrest, mainstays of the Celtic team in recent times, asked to go to the well again, because somebody said to me today, I says they look leggy, and the guy said, but it's the start of the season, but it can be a mental thing as well, and I think that's why you need players in. I said it last week in the show, you need players in at the start of every season. It's going to keep you on your toes, it's going to enhance the training, it's going to enhance the team, it's going to freshen things up. Peter rhymes off Jota, Kun, Kyogo, they're the obvious ones, and from the guys that have come in, it's only Negrin and Tierney that are anywhere near the starting 11, and that's where Celtic, I think, they need another 3, 4, 5 pushing them for that 11. That lifts everything.
Even at that, Kieran Tierney's currently only lasting 70 minutes, and Liam Scales is going left back. And
yes,
Alistair Johnson's injured, and Colby Donovan, who did well, by the way. No criticism to him. He comes on. So there's now like numerical holes as well as areas that you would look to enhance in terms of quality.
They look like a team that they've started the season domestically well, right? They're still the strongest team for me, but they look over those two games. They look flat. They look as if they're looking to the next guy for inspiration, and nobody's bringing that to the table. And the two performances were really, really flat. And I can only go back to my time where players came in and gave you a lift. Players of quality came into the squad, and that gave you all, because he doesn't want my I don't want him to take my jersey, but then you're playing with better players as well, and there's just a freshness about it, and that hasn't came for Celtic this season yet.
Let's thank Peter and bring in Howard. How would you sum up your feelings on it all, Howard?
Oh God almighty, very disappointed. The gamble's failed, simple as that. You know, I just hope that the fans don't get on Brendan Rodgers' back. I think his hands were tied. I now think it is time for the golf clubs to be put down, and Dermot Desmond must come out and make a statement, give the Celtic fans something. But like Peter, and I know Jim and Simon know about body language, I think you've got another bombshell that could happen, and that is Dyson-Mike Ida looks as if he wants to go. He does not look the Dyson-Mike Ida anywhere near like he was last year.
Well, I mean, see if that is the case, and you can in a second tell me if you agree that. How many issues are mounting up here then in attack? Because if you've not replaced Kun, not replaced Kyogo, Jota's injured, and all of us, Adam Ida's not worth the 9 million apparently. All of a sudden, the only one that people thought was a positive is disinterested and doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a difficult one. Obviously, Dyson-Mike Ida was the player of the year last year. A phenomenal season for Celtic. Hasn't started as well, of course. Missed a couple of chances. particularly the one last night, and people
will
look
at
that. Yeah, of course he's got to score it. And on last year's form, you'd expect him to score it. But, you know, it's a difficult one because, yeah, people can read into things sometimes if someone does look a little bit, you know, but he might just be frustrated with his form as opposed to the body language that how we're suggesting that he doesn't want to be there. He might just be annoyed because his standards were so high last year that every player knows, and Simon in particular, playing for a club at Celtic, would know sometimes if you do have a little bit of dip or for whatever reason, then you get frustrated, and people, as I said, can maybe interpret it in their own way. You know, there is a number of things. You mentioned Gordon, the unforeseen injuries to the likes of Alistair Johnson, try to replace. I know Celtic brought on a left back now to give a competition for Kieran Tierney. That there are things that maybe take a little bit of time, but I think it's the top end of the pitch. I think Celtic's always had, you know, real kind of competition there, yeah, and real quality in that end of the pitch, whether it's the wingers, whether it's the strikers, they've always had a real richness and quality in there, or generally have, and that's the area I think that's frustrating Celtic now. That creativity, there seems to be a lack of that, particularly breaking teams down like Kyra had in the first game where they sat behind the ball, and then even last night they didn't have that spark in the final third, and that is, listen, it is the most difficult area. We're just looking every day, we see the market 50, 60, 70 million for pretty much players who a few seasons ago most people would have thought maybe half that value, but that is the market you're in just now.
Howard, when you say though that you hope Brendan Rodgers doesn't get criticism, he's got his hands tied behind his back, is it that simple? Because although I think everybody agrees you should have brought more players in, Celtic not good enough to still beat Cara Almaty over two legs, irrespective of not having done transfer business?
They, honestly, a lot of people are saying it was a pub team. They were well organised, definitely. I just feel that...
But even at that, though, even at that, because I'd agree, I think, you know, on the eye test, they were decent, but...
You're probably right. I mean, I was at the first game. You know, it was very slow. The movement wasn't what it should be. But like I say, I think Rodgers wanted to say, right, well, we're 1 minute away from the last 16. He wanted to take it up a notch. And let's be honest, the board have got exactly what I think they're probably quite happy with, the Europa League. But I'm not, and the thousands of Celtic fans that pay their money are certainly not. And it must be time now for Dermot Desmond to come out. I blame Peter Lawwell for years and Nicholson. It's Dermot Desmond. He's the guy at the top. Now is the time to, if you like, reassurance. Tell us something. That's all we want.
I mean, I think that I'd file that under unlikely, just given what history tells you that.
Where Howard's coming from, you know, because...
What do you think then about that balance, though, between... Because you've said it yourself, even if you do have a successful team, sometimes you just need new players to freshen things up and lift it. But if you go solely on the board of let things down here and they should have signed more, does that let players off the hook? Does it let management off the hook? I mean, it has to be a when you get a failure of that size, the first caller called it an embarrassment.
Yeah.
It's never likely to be down to one thing, is it? It's a multi.
No, because I'll go back to that Celtic squad still, I think, get the quality to beat the opposition that they were up against. And I think...
Or it should have,
It should have. And I think the manager will look to what he's done and the players will look to what they've done. It's natural when you haven't been successful and on that scale as well, with everything to achieve and win and gain, there should have been enough there. But over the two games, I can only go with what I've watched. I covered the first game, I watched the last game on the telly. They just looked flat, and the longer the game went, you were hoping rather than believing Celtic would score a goal.
Thank you, Howard. How are you all feeling out there? Anything to add, either in agreement or disagreement? Of course, building up to kickoff in Bruges as well. So get in touch and we'll speak to you next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Jim Duffy are here. Absolutely no prizes for guessing what the number one topic has been so far. Celtic's failure last night. First caller called it an embarrassment, I believe. How would you sum it up, James, in Port Glasgow?
I'm very deflated. Two of the worst performances in the Champions League history. We didn't score in 180 minutes. I'll answer your question, boys. Could you give me any pass marks for any of the team players in the last week against this mob? None of them got pass marks. None of them. Second main point is Maeda. Maeda would have busted, but I think he'd have scored last week the way he played last year. The chances he missed. And you're saying to yourself, something's not right. I have never seen a team lose so easily over a full week. We didn't improve. The game at Parkhead was shocking. We were worse last night. Worse. The whole team were shocking. Something isn't right. I don't know what it is. But we've got to reflect on the draw on Thursday in the Europa League. Absolutely, I'm not interested in the Europa League. I couldn't care less about it. I would say thousands of fans would hopefully agree with me. This was a chance to get ourselves back into Europe again, get our reputation back. Not happened. We didn't spend any money. Something you can tell. Even go back to the Scottish Cup final against Aberdeen. One of the worst performances under Brendan Rodgers. But I've never known the whole team to be out of sync. Something's not right.
This is the problem that Celtic now face, isn't it? About the level of enthusiasm for the Europa League. And I'm not sure Celtic or any of our clubs are ever like, you know, established Champions League clubs who have the God-given right to get there. But when 6 months ago you come within a minute of taking Bayern Munich to extra time and you get rave reviews for your performance in the Allianz, if you do that to this in 6 months, then it can't be seen as anything other than quite a dramatic decline. That there are no Celtic fans who are going to accept that, really. Some will do the old silver lining aqua. Well, they get battered in the Champions League anyway, so we're better in the Europa. But I think that's a different argument.
No, I think it's factual that Celtic have declined. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, you talk about the Champions League qualifying for the knockout stages, playing Bayern Munich, that level of performance Celtic had. Perhaps players playing at a better level, as James has just said there. Maeda, you know, obviously still with Nicholas Kuhn then, still with Jota, etc. So, I mean, there was still, more quality in the team. The teams were playing at a higher level. Guys like Hatate and that were playing very well. McGregor was playing at the top of his game. You know, there was a lot of positivity about Celtic. But there has been a decline in performances and obviously the squad strength. So I don't think there's any doubt about that. And Brendan Rodgers himself said that he didn't want to stand still. He wants to progress and he wants to, always look to take the team to the next level. So that's factual. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't think anybody can argue with that. The only thing I would say, defending the European competition, you know, listen, Celtic are in the Europa League, but you've got, it's still European competition. Yeah. It would still be, something to try and get as far as you possibly can to try enhance your reputation. Yeah, it's not the Champions League, it's not the the top table, but it's certainly, I think better than your domestic level. It does put a test on you, and if they could manage to get another two or three players in, then, you know, there is an opportunity for Celtic to then try and get as far in this competition as they possibly can.
It doesn't have to be the end of the world, Simon. No. For a start, if anyone does care about the coefficient, maybe Celtic and Rangers have got better chances of winning games in there that builds the country back up, because we're actually staring at probably not getting any Champions League entrants going forward. Maybe you can go on a run in that competition, but the problem is, tonight, that feels like a long way off for the Celtic fans.
Yeah, it does, and I can understand it. I think James used the word deflated. I think there'll be a lot of people feeling that way today. Obviously, that you get the taste of that last year, the Champions League, and I was there covering the games, and the other games you watch, Leipzig at home was a fantastic, probably one of Celtic's top performances last year, and they take Bayern Munich to the minutes from extra time or whatever it was, and yeah, you get a taste for that, and players must get a taste for that as well, and that's the levels you want to play at. Unfortunately, it's backfired. They're out of that tournament, but Rangers got to, was it the quarterfinals last year? I guarantee if Celtic get the quarterfinals this Europa League, there'll be excitement. However, the argument is they still need to improve that squad, because they'll not get anywhere near it with this squad just now. They need quality in there to even progress in that tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be, let's hear from Brendan Rodgers actually, in the direction that the club is heading in.
The last thing you want to do in football is manufacture your own stress. You don't, that's what you don't want to be doing. But I think all we can do now is what we have to look at where we're at as a football club, and like I say, decide what way we want to go. But at this moment in time, we can still have a very good season. The Europa League, some will say, we deserve to be in that this year. I always think that investment is great, but it has to be a timely investment. This group of players have given everything. I can't fault them. You know, from my first day back, they've been brilliant. Over the course of pre-season, they've given absolutely everything. Domestically, we've started well. But at this level, you still need that little bit of extra finesse and precision and goal-scoring quality to break through.
What do you think, Gerry, listening to the Celtic manager there? Again, sort of repeating that message about not signing enough players. What's your take on it?
No, it just sounds like bombast to me. He's still raging, I think, with the board. But the reason I'm on is it's mainly about Rodgers, because I think he's 60-40 to blame. Because I was saying to the producer that, by the way, can I just declare that I never saw the game last night? I don't buy TV channels. If it's not on the 165 channels that I've got, I'm certainly not buying another channel for it. I watched the Rangers game tonight. And the scary thing is, if they get an early goal and then a penalty or a deflection and it's 2-2, the horrible situation that Celtic fans may face is, Rangers are through and we're not, so we really need to hope that they get beat tonight. And I'm sorry, I don't care about coefficients, I want Rangers to get beat. But anyway, what I'm going to say is about Rodgers, he must have known that we're not going to be any different tonight, the last night, as they were in the first game. They were only going to go gung-ho and try to get a goal. They would have played exactly the same. And because I never saw it, as I said, I've been hearing, one of your callers even mentioned that he said that they were worse last night than they were in the first game. So Rodgers has to take a lot of blame for not adjusting because he had to win. He didn't adjust any of his formation. Ida never got the ball last week at all, and Maeda didn't do much with it. And I think the first chance last week that Maeda missed was actually easier than the one last night. And he just trotted back. He didn't look upset about it. It was very, very late. I think it was over the 90 minutes at that point. Yeah. Now that ball was screaming to be actually elevated, and he just rolled it into the guy's hands. Last night, he looked a bit more crestfallen, right enough. But I blame Rodgers because he never adjusted his tactics or his strategy, because Kairat... I don't go on ferries. Did I say Kairat there?
Yeah.
Kairat were not going to be any different from what they were last week.
Let's put that to the guys, because it's an interesting point. What were the tactics wrong?
I wouldn't say the tactics were wrong. I think the first game, you have to take a lead there. Games away from home can be difficult in Europe. I don't think any success Celtic had last night was getting them turned. I know we had a lot of possession in front of Kairat, and I thought that in the first leg as well. And they're comfortable. That team worked their socks off. They were organised. They were aggressive. They were very fit. But they never offered anything in attack. And any time I thought we get any joy last night, we were turning. I think Tierney just put it over the top for the likes of Yang and the pace that we've got going forward. But I don't think it was used enough. But I think, again, is that tactics, or is that decisions within a game that players are making?
What do you think, Jim? Because I can almost see both sides of this, where, like we said earlier, if there's a defeat of that scale, people are calling it an embarrassment, calling it one of Celtic's worst ever results. So that has to be on everybody. So you can't absolve Brendan Rodgers from blaming that. He's the manager of the team. On the other hand, I'm going to guess that Brendan Rodgers' tactics are pretty similar to the ones that when they played against Bayern Munich and they went toe-to-toe with some of these teams last season. So is it that his tactics are wrong, or is it that there's just a drop-off in quality at the sharp end of the pitch when you maybe need somebody to go and eliminate an opposition player, eliminate a fullback, jink past somebody when teams are making it difficult? Is that the bit that's missing, or are the tactics wrong?
I think when Kuhn and Jota were playing at their top level, I think they're currently better than James Forrest and Yang. I'd find that hard to argue against. You know, and again, if Kyogo was there, he's a sharper striker than Ida or Maeda when he plays there. So I think all of these things mean definitely there's been a step backwards in terms of quality of that final third. Again, link-ups, connections with players. Alistair Johnson in particular in the first two thirds of the season last year, a terrific relationship with Kuhn coming in. Yeah. Alistair Johnson, same on the other side, Greg Taylor in particular, coming in inverted, all these kind of things. And Maeda staying wide, and whereas there's still relationships to be built up between Tierney, and obviously it was Yang last night, and obviously it was Alistair Johnson's injured just now, so they've not got the same relationship with Anthony Ralphs and stuff. It's not to decry those players, but there's been definitely an imbalance, and again, those type of midfield runners breaking in between the lines, getting himself into the box. Negrin has scored a couple of goals domestically, had a really good chance. The keeper had a great save, to be fair, when he cut inside, and the keeper had a fantastic save. And as Jerry said, Maeda's had a couple of chances. But there has been a drop off in quality in that final third. As I say, whether it's link up from the defenders and the fullbacks, or whether it's the invention of the creative players, there's definitely been a drop off. Tempo of the game. I do agree with Jerry. I don't think anyone saw Kyra all of a sudden being gung-ho and coming towards Celtic and leaving loads of space to exploit. I never thought that was going to be the case. So Celtic really had to get after him a bit earlier, I felt. I think they almost allowed Kyra to set their stall sign.
Not that I've seen the last round, but they went to penalties there as well. So they're dogged and they hang in and they try to stay in the game. And listen, they did it. Celtic should have had enough to break them down, but couldn't do it.
Do you allow yourself any leeway on Brendan Rodgers, Jerry, given that there is a drop off there in attacking players and other players, or is this all on the manager? Are you buying any of this stuff about
just a wee bit? I would say that the difference between Kuhn and Forrest is enormous, because the last week, because I never saw it last night, so I watched last week's game. And every time he only did one cross on the outside, and he'd gone down towards the corner flag, and that was a kind of sort of like a knee-high cross which nearly came off. But about every other time, the difference between him drifting inside is he doesn't use his left foot very much. And he's scored some great goals with his left foot. But when Kuhn came in, he was able to either have a short, comfortable shot with his left foot, because that's his favourite, and or chip a ball to maybe Scales at the back post or whoever was on at the time. Forrest actually drifted in and he went diagonally back the way every time, other than that one single cross that I remember, and of course he got taken off. And it's alarming to think, from what I've been hearing for the two guys before me, and the other thing I hate is, by the way, is the English will see this. It was the first on Breakfast TV this morning, it was the first sporting item on, and of course that gets all the people in TalkSport and Sky to say they shouldn't have, then they want to play in England, or these people are, so we get slagged and this won't help us. But Forrest definitely, to me, I'm sorry, the boy's done, and he's so ineffective, because none of the drifting inside last week came to any, it just went back. John Collins was right in his, if I'm allowed to say that, John Collins was late in the other, the channel that was broadcasting it last night on the radio, and there's too much of this. Carter Vickers to McGregor, back to Carter Vickers to Scales, and then all that kind of stuff. There was no urgency that I could detect from what I was hearing. But John Collins, the words he used, I would say correct. That's what wasn't happening.
See, another thing about quality being so important, because again, this is not an attempt to say that the tactics were right, because you can always, blame has to go everywhere, but if you are having a stuffy game and you're not quite breaking things down, take your chances when they come along, obviously. Yeah. And Celtic did have some, and talk to me about the set piece deliveries.
Set piece deliveries were really poor, but listen,
I mean, how many though? Not much.
Well, no, really poor. I mean, that anything was getting on as well. I kept hitting the front post. Like everybody watching the game, you're getting really annoyed at these type of things, because
To me then as a manager, where even if so, your tactics and your game plan now looks way worse because players can't deliver the ball into an area or take chances.
That's got nothing to do with it. I mean, you obviously set things up for set plays. Everyone's sailing. Top clubs have got set play coaches and these things, but the first thing you have to do with a set play coach is make sure the delivery's right, or else it all breaks down.
Okay, thank you very much to Jerry. Let me tell you about this before we move on. Clyde 1. Sounds like some of you need cheered up out there. And let's be honest, even if you don't, this would take your mood to a whole new level. £550,000. You can get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Text are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 5 entries, you text YES to 61025. Those texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03-434-269-340. The calls are charged at a standard rate as well, and it is over 18s only. Online entry, all the rules for this Rail Network competition can be found at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close at 5pm on Friday when somebody will win the lot. It might as well be you. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European football coverage with The Drake, neighbourhood gastropub. Watch live sports in the west end of Glasgow.
Yes, Rangers, the ones in European action tonight. The Clyde One Super Scoreboard team will be there every step of the way throughout the league phases to bring you coverage of both Celtic and Rangers European campaigns. Of course, just waiting to find out which competitions it will be in. The top team covering home and away matches, and it's all thanks to The Drake in the West End. Get yourself down, check it out. They've got an all-day menu from 12pm, perfect for lunch, dinner, casual drinks, their famous Sunday roast. Regular watchers to the YouTube stream will know that Jim Duffy's been on a brilliant weight loss journey. I mention it every week, but you could still get yourself...
I've been in Drake for a Sunday lunch,
could,
it's lovely.
I was going to say, you could make room for a wee Sunday roast, couldn't you?
Yeah, I've been there.
Anyway, get down there and check it out. We are surely approaching time for a Rangers team. It's always the balance when one plays last night and there's a big result. You spend most of the show looking at that and almost neglect the big game that's on tonight. So Rangers fans, how are you feeling? Like I say, I know you would have been in a sort of rivalry-based way momentarily cheered up last night, probably, because that's just the way it is. I don't think too many people care about the coefficient when it's their rivals that
no
are playing.
No one cares about the coefficient.
That's just Glasgow for you. But tonight you've got your own task, and it's been quite the period, because this time last week we were obviously talking about that 3-0 deficit inside 20 minutes and fans leaving, booed off at halftime, booed off at full time. It doesn't get any better because you drop points at the weekend. Hamza Igaman refuses to come on, he's now gone. So there's a lot going on there as well. I wonder how you're feeling about tonight. What is tonight all about? Do you believe that Rangers can get through? Do you think they can? How big would that be for Russell Martin? And then after that, if that's not the case, what is it then? Is this about sort of saving face, getting out there without any real damage, and then trying to go and land a big domestic blow at the weekend against your rivals, who, in case you hadn't heard, are not in a great place now either? What do you think about tonight?
Yeah, I think that's extremely tough. I think Club Brugge were very good in the first half, particularly against, and whether they kind of put the tools away or not, we don't really know. Obviously, Russell Martin was understandably trying to get as much positivity out of the game as possible about the second half performance. But generally speaking, Club Brugge were a good bit better than Rangers. So if they turn up tonight and play at their maximum, you would expect Club Brugge to be more than good enough to see out the two-goal advantage.
Well, here you go, Rangers fans. Listen carefully. Patronising it, I'm going to say it that way, isn't it? But listen up and let us know your thoughts right now on this team. Give us a call. Is this the right team Russell Martin's picked? Butland in goal, a back four of Max Aarons at right back. No James Tavernier. John Souter, Nasser Djiga and Jaden Magoma. Rothwell, Asgard and Cameron in the midfield, with Antman and Gassam either side of Danilo. So that means the likes of Tavernier, Raskin, Dessers all on the bench, along with Kelly, Wright, Barron, Diomande, Fernandez, Gentles, Curtis and Hutton. So a few big calls in there. No James Tavernier again. Is Max Aarons doing enough for you to justify starting all these games? Is it right to have Nicholas Raskin out the team and, I suppose, in a sense, opt for Joe Rothwell instead? Because that's been another big debate. Danilo in there, maybe. Dessers just not quite fit enough yet. We know that Hamza Igaman is going. So get all your thoughts in, please, on whether that's the right team and generally the game tonight. What do you think? Can it be done? Can you see the unthinkable happening? What would that do for Russell Martin? Would it turn it all round? Kyle is on. How are you, Kyle?
I'm fine, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. What do you make of that team then? What are you thinking tonight?
For that team, I think it's a quite well team, but for Rothwell to come in and then Nicholas Raskin not, it's a big call. But I think with the team that he's got out, it could work and it could be at least two goals for us, and depending on what, however they score, it just depends. Oh. But it's a good team.
Okay, so you're happy with that? That's the one you would have picked?
I would have picked that, yeah, 100%.
It's a lot of big decisions in there, Simon.
Well, it's very much leaning towards Russell Martin's team.
Yeah.
You know, he's brought his players in, he's shown faith in them. It's a big call still for me leaving the likes of Tavernier and Raskin. Raskin, I think, Rangers with Czerny last year, top performer, Tavernier, the experience. But it's the manager's call. He's brought these guys in. Like Jim, I think it'll be a difficult night for Rangers. I think they got off to the worst possible start last week. It was really looking as if the roof was going to totally fall in. But credit, they steadied the ship to half time. They got the goals. They were unlucky with it not to get a second goal. But it's going to be a tough night for them. But yeah, that's very much a Russell Martin team.
The sense you, on that, Jim, the sense you get from a lot of Rangers fans is fine. You know, managers can obviously want to put their own imprint on the team. Yeah. Is it fair to say most Rangers fans are looking for a bit more of a sign that Aarons is better than Tavernier and that Rothwell is better than Raskin?
Yeah, I think that's where the jury's out. I mean, people are saying, yeah, I mean, a lot of Rangers fans, listen, we've been doing this program for a number of years, Gordon, when, you know, James Tavernier's always divided opinion, and but I would say leaning towards the fact is there was more criticism for him than praise. But now I think people are right to question whether they feel that Max Aarons is a better option. He's went with a very attack-minded team. He's obviously went with a 4-2-3-1 with Asgard playing behind Danilo and with the two wingers, Gassam and Antman. And it's very attack-minded, but he's also Cameron and Rothwell in the midfield. So again, Cameron likes to get forward, so they're very exposed. Mm-hmm. Now, I know Rangers have to go for it because they need
to. Do you think that helps in a way?
Goals.
In a way, I'm not going to put a pop trying to say it's a good thing that you're losing, but Russell Martin has tried to lean into that. It's a situation that they've not been able to do yet. No. You know, Pilsen were able to chase them. Mm. Panathinaikos were able to chase them. Can they do that?
No, they're going to have to take a big risk. But I would had Raskin in the team. Absolutely Raskin in the team rather than Rothwell. I think Raskin gives you energy. He still breaks up the play. He's playing in his home country. You know, he's maybe got, you know, he's an international player now. He's maybe wanting to show people the quality he's got. Again, whether he's looking to move to a top club or not. But again, it gives him the opportunity in Europe as well. So there's a lot of reasons I would have picked Raskin. But I think he's a better player than Rothwell at this moment in time in that role. If you're going to have the likes of Asgard and Cameron looking to go forward, I think Raskin gives you a better balance defensively, and you can't afford to lose another goal. That's the bottom line. The Rangers cannot afford to lose one goal because they won't score three, I don't think. I don't think so anyway over in Belgium.
Obviously no Hamza Igeman because he's on his way out. Kyle, what do you make of that situation?
So that kind of was quite surprised that he refused to play and they said he had an injury. To be fair, if he did have an injury, which we probably already know he didn't, it was because he's moving the team. But if you don't want to play, then just say it before you get announced in the lineup.
Yeah. Well, Russell Martin said yesterday he'd had a scan and there is nothing there, and he'll pass his medical for his new team was the sort of line. So I think we know why. I don't think Rangers have officially confirmed it yet. I believe he was on his way to the airport today.
If he refused to play, God, he's in breach of contract, in which case his Rangers don't have to pay him. So therefore, there's a difference. I think he's got to... anybody could have a mind injury, and enough to not play, and it's very hard to prove that's not the case.
Yeah, Jim is on the other line. What do you make of that team, Jim? Is that what you would have picked? Are you happy?
No. Raskin should be playing. Rothwell shouldn't be anywhere near the team. And I just think we have got a clueless, classless clown as a manager today. It's just not Rangers standard. I'd go for Andrew Postecoglou before that idea.
Well, that would be good. Let's not be too unfair. I mean, I know we like to get passionate on here, but I don't know, let's tone it down a wee bit. Let's be a bit more polite. I think that's only fair. Ange Postecoglou coming to Rangers would be a good laugh for this show, though. Sign me up for some extended shows.
I was going to say, your show better be on to midnight. That'd be the minimum.
At the core of this, I kind of expected a Rangers fan or something to get in touch and just... It feels like Rothwell, Aarons, maybe they'll come good. Maybe the end of the season we'll be waxing lyrical about how good they've been and they've helped Rangers have a successful season. But you can only go on what you've seen so far. I think Joe Rothwell has actually given interviews saying he's not performing well at the moment, but Russell Martin's seeing enough to keep him in.
Again, he's a player that likes to play that sixth role, if you want to call it that, get the ball off of defenders, link up the play. And that's what he's done in his career. But Rangers are not playing as well as a unit, and everyone, he's got an awful lot of new players, Simon, stated himself, it's a Russell Martin team. He's trying to get as many of the bodies he's bringing in the style of play that he's wanting to adapt and the Rangers players adapt to, be getting his own group of players. But in the meantime, he's up against very tough opposition. So I just think that you pick the best players available to you. And I personally think Nicholas Raskin's a better player than Joe Rothwell.
Big game last night, big game tonight, and a big game of our own right now. Let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Don't forget, we've really upped the stakes. We have really gone to a new level. Not only can you win a signed ball, you can choose between the signed ball or one of the new limited edition collector's item Beat the Pundit coins, if you would prefer. And by the way, Simon Donnelly
is on.
He's given them away for fun this season. So get in touch, 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Simon Donnelly are here. It is all happening. We're reflecting on last night's disaster for Celtic in Kazakhstan. We've just given you the Rangers team as well, so get your fresh reaction into that. Is that the right team that Russell Martin's picked? How do you see tonight going? And anything else that you've got for us, it's the same number, so get in touch and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Now, I must say, during that break there, multiple people tried to call in and contact me privately and all that sort of stuff, either in Kazakhstan or on their way back from Kazakhstan, for Beat the Pundit. Genuinely loads of them. Way more than you would ever have imagined.
It just shows you how bad the performance was with Celtic when the most exciting part of coming back from Kazakhstan was to beat the Pundit.
Exactly. Daniel is on. How are you, Daniel? Where are you, in fact, Daniel?
Not bad. There's four of us here. Josh, Liam and John. We're all in Stansted Airport.
Where, sorry?
Stansted.
Stansted. Right. You're nearly back
Frankfurt.
Then. Oh, Frankfurt. No, Frankfurt.
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 Oh, there we go.
We're on. We've done two flights. We've got one to go. So.
Dare I ask, was it a good trip? Is that a daft question?
It's a good trip, apart from the late last night.
Ruined it.
Aye, it's a cool place.
Is it? Would you recommend Almaty for a summer holiday?
Aye, it's good. People are friendly. Loads to do. Quite modern place, so aye.
Quite great, right? There you go. That's one. That's not many people can say they've been there.
Exactly.
No. There's still a few boys there, so you're a bit jealous of them. Don't know if we're jealous or we're relieved to be coming.
Well, you're nearly there. You're nearly there. What we'll do is we'll toss the coin. If it is the blue side, it will be Jim Duffy. The red side is Simon Donnelly, who's having a terrible run of Beat the Pundit form. And it is blue. It's Jim Duffy.
Oh, result.
Relief. Anyway, right, Daniel, I know there's a couple of you there. Yeah, to make it easy for me, if you can be the spokesman, that would be lovely, all right?
Yep.
Good man. 30 seconds then, going on the clock. And Jim Duffy, can you still hear me? No, he's good. He's nodding away now. 30 seconds on the clock, Daniel. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay. Yep.
Good man. Your time starts now. Who scored Rangers' only goal in the first leg against Bruges?
Pass.
What was Danny Lennon's last managerial job before being appointed Airdrie manager today? How many SPFL teams have academical in their title?
One.
Before Kairat, who was the last team to knock Celtic out a Champions League qualifier?
Pass.
New Motherwell signing Oscar Priestman is what nationality?
Pass.
Who's got a better win percentage as Rangers manager, Michael Beale or Steven Gerrard?
Gerrard.
Okay, let's bring him back. Jim Duffy, can you hear us? Are you ready? Good. Same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who scored Rangers' only goal in the first leg against Bruges?
Oh, no, you're asking me. Dessers.
What was Danny Lennon's last managerial job before being appointed Airdrie manager today? How many SPFL teams have academical in their title?
One.
Before Kairat, who was the last team to knock Celtic out of a Champions League qualifier?
Pass.
New Motherwell signing Oscar Priestman is what nationality?
Dutch.
Who's got a better win percentage as Rangers manager, Michael Beale or Steven Gerrard?
Steven Gerrard.
Okay. Daniel and the Frankfurt crew, how do you think it went?
Oh, pretty poor. As bad as last night, I think.
That wasn't very confident. Mine's was more than guesses.
You scored more than Celtic, I can tell you that much. So none of you got the first question. Sometimes those recent ones are the hardest, aren't they? Danilo scored the Rangers goal last week, so 0-0.
Across, I remember it now, slides in.
Danny Lennon is back in management. He is the new manager of Airdrie. His previous job was Clyde, and you both got it well done. I think a fairly straightforward one. How many SPFL teams have academical in their title as one? It's Hamilton, obviously. You both got it. Before Kairat, who was the last team to knock Celtic out of a Champions League qualifier? Daniel and the crew have tried to forget this, obviously, but it was Midtjylland. Remember? Was that Angie's first season?
Yeah, it was his first, yeah.
So it was Midtjylland. So still.
Did the boys not get it?
They did not.
No, they were trying to work it out, but. No, we didn't get it.
Here we go. New Motherwell signing Oscar Priestman. I'm just waiting on Gordon DL referring to him as Priestman, you know, like a sort of odd superhero. He is Australian. None of you got that either. You both get the same amount of questions. Who's got a better win percentage as Rangers manager, Michael Beale or Steven Gerrard? You both went Steven Gerrard. You were wrong. Ooh. It's Michael Beale, 72-63. So what we do here then is go to a tiebreaker. Do you know, I've realised there's a bit of an international theme going on. Last night's Beat the Pundit contestant was in Los Angeles, and the guys have been to Kazakhstan. You're like worldwide superstar. Anyway, what we do is read the question. It's going to be a closest two, so I will get Jim to write his answer down, Daniel, and then ask you to give me your attempt, okay?
Yep.
Okay. The question is this: how many different teams have won the League Cup? If you could write it down, please, Jim. How many different teams have won the League Cup, not the Scottish Cup?
Scottish League Cup.
Okay. Okay, if you could write it down, please. Go on. And Daniel, if you could give me your attempt, please.
We'll go 13.
13, did you say?
Aye.
Okay, it's very close, I can tell you that. The guys have said 13. Jim Duffy has said 18. One of you is 3 out. One of you is 2 out. That's how close it is. The answer of how many different teams have won the League Cup is 16. Jim Duffy's pipped it. Oh, what are the chances? Daniel. So close, Daniel.
Oh, it's a gutter.
You were like Celtic, you're beaten apparently.
Exactly. You've used that up your sleeve for the last 2 minutes. Daniel, let's talk football with us before you go, because I appreciate your time. What is the kind of serious overriding feeling from last night, apart from enjoying the trip?
I think it's a lot of frustration, a lot of anger in a manner of the performance. What's happened with signing? We needed players, we've not had many come in. But what was on the pitch last night was more than enough to beat them, and we created absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. So we deserve to go out. So a collective blame probably for a lot of people.
What's the balance of that blame then? Because I think you're right. It's never just going to be that one thing. We've been saying that throughout the show. Do you lean more towards the recruitment? Do you lean more towards the players that are currently there? Is it an even share? I don't know if I'm asking for you to put a number on it. That's maybe difficult. But what's the split look like?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to assess just now. Brendan's probably got to take the fair share of last night's performance. He hasn't been helped with players coming in and losing players like Ogo in January not being replaced, could a couple of weeks ago not being replaced when we've got this tie coming up. But he's responsible for what's on the pitch, and he needed help of players to come in, but what he had at his disposal was more than enough to put in a better performance than that over two legs and over 3.5 hours of football, and didn't score. I didn't even look to score really. Made a kind of chance at the end, but it was a breakaway and wasn't really creating much. Just frustration.
Good man, Daniel, we appreciate you. What time's your flight?
We are 10 o'clock, so another 2 hours.
Well, that's commitment to
well
the
done,
cause
guys.
Well
done,
yeah,
that,
all the best. Thank you very much, Daniel, in Frankfurt on his way back from Kazakhstan. That's quite something, that.
There was a few there.
I thought you'd get sent over.
No, you managed to get out of that. Yeah, I was just watching last night. I wasn't on duty.
Because even the Celtic team who flew straight back and presumably on a nice jet and all that sort of stuff and no real layovers, they didn't get back to Glasgow until I think it was about 11 o'clock this morning, something along those lines.
It's real commitment, and there was a number of them there. The cameras showed there was quite a few Celtic fans over.
And I think that's a big thing. I mean, the Celtic fans are so loyal in terms of following their teams, and they expect, and not expect, I think they deserve they deserve a better performance. Daniel said that. I think the performance, I think, was, even though the result was devastating, I think the performance was really underwhelming. I don't know the wee disagreement I have with Daniel. They did have some chances. I mean, obviously, James Forrest had the header, keeper tipped over, Negan had the shot, the keeper saved. I think it was Hatate slid in. I think it was a cut back, and I'm not sure, but then obviously they made his chances. So there was a few chances.
McCowan had one.
McCowan as well.
Did you mention Hatate there? Yeah, sorry.
And I just think that in that type of game, you've got to take one of those chances and just win the game 1-0 and get through.
Okay, thank you again to the guys. 01419511025. Mark is on as a Rangers fan. Mark, just before the news, we gave you the team. What do you make of it?
Really disappointed, to be honest. I don't think that Joe Rothwell or Aaron should be anywhere near that team tonight. I don't really see what they've done to earn a spot in the most important game in Rangers season so far. I think that for me, you've left out Proven and Belgian International. You've left out Tavernier, who was probably the only person except Finlay Curtis, who had a massively positive impact on the last game. To leave them both out, given their experience in Europe and the experience on that stage, for the all great respect for Joe Rothwell, who's no kicked the ball in Europe, I don't see it. If I'm honest, I think I expected a little bit different. We've also dropped Diamandé, rightly or wrongly. I don't see what Askew have done other than maybe you're a brand new signing, so the boss has got to put you on because he signed you. I don't really see why particularly Joe Rothwell and Aaron's are there based on previous. What do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting because even so, if you take the wider view over the entire spell, it feels like Aaron's and Rothwell haven't really done enough to win Rangers fans over, right? Mm. But particularly off the back of the weekend, it's not like the weekend went well for Rangers. The weekend was another disaster for Rangers. We had all sorts of calls on, and so Max Aarons keeps his place despite coming off for James Tavernier, who improved the team. You know, sometimes that can happen. If you've got a real established player in there, you don't just bin them off because of you know one bad game. But it's just quite, like I say, it's not like Rangers won at the weekend. So you'd expect, if ever there was a case to bring James Tavernier back in, would it not be now?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, Gordon. It's amazing how the change of opinion of James Tavernier was. We've been on this programme, as we mentioned earlier on, the amount of criticism he's taken over his Rangers career has been a lot, you know. But I think you don't realise sometimes, though he's not on the pitch, how good he is in terms of, you know, the creativity side of it, you know, and see the responsibility. But again, it's down to the manager, so he takes that. Asgard, we've not seen enough of yet, but I'm presuming he's maybe looked at does Diamandé chip in with goals. Asgard should be a goal threat because he's that type of player. That's the reason why he signed him.
Bit more of a physical presence, maybe.
Yeah, he's got a little bit more presence, but I just think he's looked at. I mean, it's a very attack-minded Rangers side. That's the one thing I will say. But I mean, I don't know about you, Simon, but I think that, you know, that there's an element of risk, and you know, there's an element of being very open for this Rangers team.
Yeah, well, a couple of games back, I can't remember what it was, Raskin and Tavernier found themselves back in the team, and I just go with. Listen, I've said before that a manager coming in, and there's always been that group of players that have been through this unsuccessful period at Rangers. But I think Tavernier and Raskin aren't in that group because they're two of the better performers. Raskin, for me, was one of the better performers. Scores against Celtic last year, performed well in Europe. Is a good all-round midfielder. And the experience at this level, as you say, Gordon, I don't think the other two have done enough. They didn't set the hay on fire at the weekend again. It was a really poor performance by Rangers, but it looks like a Russell Martin team. And it's a bold decision because if it goes horrendously wrong tonight, it heaps more pressure on him. But I would have leaned towards the experience of Tavernier and Raskin.
I suppose the simple way of looking at this, Mark, as well, is you and your fellow Rangers fans might have your favourites and you might like Raskin, but you'd get over it if the team was winning, wouldn't you? You know, if Russell Martin was making these changes and it was working, but it's not so far.
No, it's not. And I think that everybody looks at a manager when he's changing the team, and squad rotations are a really good thing when you're winning games. See, when you're not winning games, you don't know your best 11. When you are winning games, you've got good rotation. Mm. And for me, I don't think that the performances since Russell Martin have come in have been anywhere near good enough. And I don't think continually changing formations, personnel, positions, expectations is helping anybody. Nobody can settle down. I mean, I watched the press conference today and they asked Ant-Man what the what's going wrong and why is he finding it so hard. And the boys struggled. He struggled to answer that question because they don't know. But I think they don't know because we're continually, the management team and the coaching staff must be continually changing. There's so much information about how we want to play and where we're going wrong and all these other things that they're just overloaded. So for me, can we not just keep it simple? Like, let's just see for the next 3 or 4 games, let's just keep it nice and simple so everybody understands our job role. And let's try and get a level of consistency. One of the things we are crying out for and have been since we kicked a ball in the first whistle of the season is leadership. They look at each other on that pitch like, can you do something? Or can you do something? Or will you do something? There's nobody grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck. That's exactly what Tav did when he came on against St Mirren. He was almost a centre forward at one point. Shown by example, this is what you need to do.
Do you have any fears, Mark, about this sort of longer term, like in terms of where Nicholas Raskin is, you know, his future at the club? Maybe, I'm sure on a personal level, it probably stings that 5% more when you're going back to Belgium and, you know, and being left on the bench tonight. He is a Belgium international. There's been that sort of, you know, earlier in the season, it kind of looked like he was one of the ones that Russell Martin was alluding to after the game at Fir Park, and then he left him out and so on. Is this all heading in a fairly negative direction for Raskin?
It looks like that Russell Martin's made his mind up on Raskin and that he doesn't play in a way that he wants to play. I think Raskin wants to be a 6 and Russell Martin wants Joe Rothwell to be a 6. And unfortunately for Raskin, he wasn't bought by Russell Martin. So I think that there's a bit of well, you're not really going to fit where I want to play. I want to play you just off of Joe Rothwell. I want to play you maybe higher up than Joe Rothwell. And Raskin doesn't want to play there. But to be fair to Raskin, when you watch him in the St Mirren game, I mean, at the very end, he was out of it. He was out of energy. He ran like none I've ever seen before. You watch Trace him all the full length of the pitch stuff in the 89th minute, trying to win the ball back and stuff. So he's doing certainly what it looks like to be what he's been asked of, to run hard, as Russell Martin puts it, and to chase everything down. I really don't know what that lad can do, because even Russell Martin made a point when he came on. He gets subbed on, I think, in the Dundee game. And Russell Martin made the point that Raskin made more challenges in half an hour than we made in the whole 60 minutes before it. Well, in the nicest way, is that not Joe Rothwell's job?
Yeah, and that's the problem, Jim, again, that this goes back to this wider point of what Russell Martin, I think, is trying to achieve. Going to make let's make a comparison really close to home. Our colleague Andy Halliday, right? He's Motherwell's best midfielder last season. He plays every single game. He gets players player of the year. But a new manager comes in, has a completely different way of playing, and just sees other guys fit in there better. That's fine, because he can now say, yeah, but look how good, like, it's working at the moment. And even Andy can go, well, do you know what, I need to hold my hands up to a point. But that's not what's happening, because I know in the past Russell Martin's alluded to maybe Raskin not being quite disciplined enough, or, you know, maybe chasing too much, maybe getting dragged out of position. These things are all perfectly valid, but is it working any better without him? Yeah. That's the question.
Yeah, that's the thing. But obviously Russell Martin's maybe looking at, you know, establishing a style, so he's going to have to leave certain players in what he believes is the real position. He tried Raskin in that 6 with Rothwell next to him in a bit more advanced role. Didn't quite work. Rothwell just looked completely out of sorts. And Raskin, as Matt said, has got an abundance of energy. I actually listened to Neil McCann, who obviously was in at Rangers last year with Barry Ferguson and Billy Dodds, and he was saying that Raskin likes to play there, but he felt, even when he was at Rangers, that he had too much energy to play there at the moment.
To try and rein him in a bit.
Yeah, so again, I get that, exactly what you're saying, Gordon. I think that the manager wants to play a very definitive style. The biggest thing for me at this moment in time is, are they better than the players that were there? I don't think Aarons is currently better than James Tavernier. I don't think Rothwell is better than that. And I think Rangers lack physicality. I think Russell Martin wants to play, you know, a very certain style of football, if you want to call it total football. But I think in any level of football, but particularly in Scottish football, you need a degree of physicality. Rangers have got two centre backs. Other than that, they're quite a small side, and with Dessers out injured as well, I know he's on the bench tonight, then they have to play, they have to, almost have to score the perfect goal all the time.
Okay, thank you very much to Mark. Safe to say there are concerns about that Rangers starting 11, but this is football, it's mad, we love it. Who knows, everyone might be eating their words come 10 o'clock tonight. Get in touch right now, we'll speak to you next if we can.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're getting closer to kick off in Bruges. There is a lot of debate on the Rangers team that's been named. They'll do that thing, see when we usually get one-way traffic, I then appeal for the other side just to hear it. I'm now curious, do we have any Joe Rothwell enthusiasts out there? Any Max Ahrens fanatics who thinks that that is the right team? Because it's nice to hear all opinions. So get them into us if you can and let us know what you're thinking there. Let me give you a teaser. Fairly tricky, maybe. Joe in Motherwell says, can you name the last six Rangers players to score in a Champions League playoff tie? So we're not going back that far. That's the good news for you. So the last six players to score in a Champions League playoff tie. No. There's a really, really, really recent one that we discussed about 20 minutes ago.
20 minutes ago.
On Vita Plan.
Danilo.
Oh, Danilo. Yes. Ah, just there.
Ah, okay. Any others?
Tavernier.
Yes. Okay, right. You've got two down, four to get. We'll hopefully get them before the end. Another thanks to Joe in Motherwell. He got the memo. He came up with the teaser. He emailed it in to fulltime@clyde1.com and we used it on the show. Simple as that. Let's hear from Russell Martin, his thoughts on Bruges.
I'm excited about it. I think we have a real chance to come here and attack it, and we're ready for them. So we're going to attack it and see where it takes us. It's exciting. The game, this game is very much alive, and the tie is very much alive in our eyes. Well, the guys run more in the last game against Bruges than they have done for 2 years, pretty much 2 years at this football club. So they're willing to run for us. They're willing to work for us. Suggests to me that it's going to be okay, and we're going to move forward. I said to them, like, we've lost two games out of nine together. We want to win every single game. So it's been frustrating. But it's also not like the end of the world. And this week can really change things for us and how people feel about it.
Oh, I know. He's gone and repeated the not the end of the world thing, which I kind of get to a point. It's just one of those phrases, isn't it? Because the Rangers fans felt like it was the end of the world in Paisley on Sunday.
Yeah, but he's a manager. He's got to stay positive. And if they get two results in these next two games, all is almost forgotten. You know, the start of the season, it's just the if they can get it, and I think tonight's a very difficult one. But he's got to come out and say something. He said they're going to go for it, you know. And as I say, they managed to steady the ship last week, but this team looked really dangerous. And if you give them anything, they'll snaffle it up. So it's a difficult night for them. But I think he's got to approach it that way. He's got to say those things.
On you go, Jim.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, the game tonight, I think, they have a real big performance required from Rangers. Regardless of the result, they need a real performance. They need to show that they're making progress as a team. And, you know, if he gets that, then at least fans might say, okay, there is improvement. There's a sign that we're getting somewhere. But in the back of three draws against three teams that should win this, it's got nothing to do with other teams. This is Rangers and their budget and the level of club they're at. They should be winning these games, and they haven't.
So is tonight almost about if you can't go through? Because obviously that's the aim. But if you can't go through, don't take a step further backwards. Stay where you are. Like, I think that Rangers fans are not happy. They know where they are. But if you lose 1-0 tonight, you give it a good goal.
If it's a decent performance, you can lose 1-0, but you don't want to be sitting back to the wall. I don't think that's the way he wants to play anyway. I don't think it's the way he'll see. And looking at the team tonight, as I said, it's a very open team in terms of, there's not very many defenders in there. So therefore, you would expect them to try and dominate the ball as much as they can. So I just think if it's a progressive performance tonight, then I think Rangers fans will take any small crumbs of comfort forward just now.
Is there anything in that psychological test that can sometimes meet a team when you are 3-1 up, and that can, all of a sudden, if Rangers just fluke something early on or score a wonder goal or there's a mistake, then their anxiety would set in?
Possibly. I think that's maybe, the message from Russell Martin to try and get that first goal and ask some questions of Bruges. Because when they got the goal after half time last week, I thought they were a wee bit unfortunate with the second one deemed in the keeper's hands. You know, Bruges didn't look as effective after the break. But I just think at home they'll go again. And the concern I've got is this style of playing, these risk taking from the back. It invites pressure on. They've did honestly, it in the other two European games.
The steel men are doing it with ease. No. Don't worry about that.
These must be a different level.
Let's bring in Billy and see what he thinks. Billy, on you go.
Jim, I totally disagree with you. I think Russell Martin is completely and utterly out of his depth. I mean, right. I had a season ticket in Bar 72, which I let go because Russell Martin was becoming the manager. And I get my grandson's got it now, along my son. Now, I don't know who he's trying to kid, but we've not seen a decent performance yet. And he's trying to say that they're going to go for it, and yet he leaves his best midfielder on the bench. No, I mean, Joe Rothwell, if he lives, he's 150, will only be half the player that Nico Raskin is.
Yeah, no, listen, Bill, we all think here that Nico Raskin's a better player at this moment in time and not in other departments, but all we're saying is that he wants to play a very definitive style of football, and he believes that Joe Rothwell's better suited to it. So that's what we're only trying to justify how the manager sees it, not that we agree with it, because we don't.
I mean, Billy, do you think these are the types of decisions that, if results don't follow soon, really can be the undoing of Russell Martin? Because if they just don't seem popular. I asked for someone to call in and tell me they prefer Joe Rothwell or prefer Max Aarons, and I do think we'll struggle on that, won't we?
In all honesty, what does Max Aarons give you? Nothing. He's not a good defender, and he gives you nothing going forward. I've never seen a guy that actually runs forward and then passes the ball back. And Joe Rothwell, as I said, he's not in the same class as Nico Raskin. Now, I lasted 12 minutes last week. I went to the game, and what I say, I've seen kids' teams lining up better, tackling better, passing better. We've not got a clue. And they've got Danilo up front, which, in all honesty, it doesn't really hold the ball up well. And there isn't enough buzz going into the box for him. The kind of buzz he wants is what he got last week when he scored. You put them into the box, you'll get them. But they're not going in.
Yeah, I just think last week it was a horrendous start. Touching on the standard of the goals. I mean, the first one's horrific, any way you look at it. The second one's no much better. And all of a sudden, there was a real fear of the roof caving in. The third one's a fantastic strike. But they've not done themselves any favours in Europe, I think, just putting pressure on, even in the other games. They've rode their luck a wee bit. They've rode their luck, and the other night, Bruges punished them three times. And I think, effectively, has killed the tie off, but, you hope Rangers can maybe turn it tonight, but I don't see it. I think this team are another couple of levels up from what they've played already.
Yeah, I agree with Simon there. I think, Billy's saying about Danilo, and Danilo is a type of player that has to be in the penalty box, getting the cross from Magoma, and that was a very good goal, really good link-up play. But it's also the harder thing to do is to get in behind teams like that and get balls across the face and get your strikers in. Danilo isn't big and physical, but they don't have anybody else. Obviously, Desser's been injured. And again, Desser's another one we mentioned, Tavernier, and who was taking an enormous amount of criticism. But when he's not in the team, I think Rangers are weaker.
Yeah.
Well, it's a department that's really needed at the moment, because hang on the line, Billy, I'll get your thoughts on this. This is what Russell Martin had to say pre-match about the outgoing Hamza Igaman.
I think we all expect that to come to a close very soon, and he won't be our player anymore. So that'll be that. And everyone else is pretty much here. He had a scan yesterday and got assessed. It's happened. We move forward. We dealt with it. He's got what he wanted. Well, it looks likely to get what he wanted, to play somewhere else. And it means we've got a sum of money that we wanted for him. So ideally it wouldn't have happened, but it did. And now we move forward and we can move on.
What are you making of that, Billy? Because I know the Russell Martin stock is so low that he's been getting stick over this as well, but surely that's not good on the player's part.
Absolutely. No, I mean, I'd have loved to seen him doing that when Jock Wallace was there. It ended up against the wall.
Graham Souness, he would have set him in a bus up to the Highlands or whatever it was to be, St. Graham Roberts up there, when he'd have fought with him and sent him with the reserves on a minibus.
Disappointed in Igaman for that, Billy, given the kind of platform the club gave him.
Absolutely. But no, I mean, the thing is, he didn't come on. And who did they put on in place? Finlay Curtis. And who nearly won us the game? Finlay Curtis. He'd two cracking strikes. Slight deflection with the first one, but I think it was going in anyway.
No, young boy, listen, you want the young boys to come through the ranks. We're speaking to Simon earlier on, about young players, because Simon's a young player, obviously getting his chance. And, you need sometimes to open a door and allow your young talented people. We've just seen it down south recently with the young teenagers going for Arsenal and Liverpool. And I think at times we want to look elsewhere rather than look in-house. And Finlay Curtis looks a real...
He's been a positive
He's one of the few positives at this moment in time. He's scored a couple of goals. He's wanting to play for Rangers. And these things are vital. You know, Rangers fans, of course, like all fans, love to see players coming through the ranks that, one, have got talent, but two, they're desperate to show that they want to play for Rangers. That they're, you know, they've got that attitude. Brilliant.
Ever had a player refuse to come on?
No, I've never had a player refuse to go on. No, but I've had players in the past.
You're laughing because can you imagine his reaction?
No, but I'm laughing. When I was at Sheffield Wednesday, a teammate get dressed and left because he wasn't started.
Who was that?
Benito Carboni.
Aye, Carboni. I remember that.
Down at the Dell.
Before the game.
Before the game. Mm-hmm. He was getting stripped. Presumed he was playing.
Team goes up.
The gear went back on and they got a taxi away.
I thought you were laughing because the thought of his wrath.
I think I would have lost the plot probably, but you know, I think obviously you get players when they get subbed, you know, taken off and they go into the dressing room and sometimes you'll words it into the dressing room. But obviously you get players.
So never during a game you've tried to put someone on and they've...
No, but you have players that, you know, don't want to play because they want to instigate a move. That's been the case, you know, and players will... But they're a bit more honest. They'll just say, listen, I want a move, and if I don't get the move, I'm going to say I've got a hamstring injury or whatever it happens to be. And you know, listen, you understand certain aspects of it. But in this particular situation, with everything that's going on at Rangers, it was bad timing for Mingemani. There's no doubt about it.
We had quite a lot actually early in the week of callers saying, yeah, it's not great for Mingemani, but I mean, Russell Martin should have handled this differently and should have kept it in house and all that. You think he's quite right to just...
I think he is, and I think he spoke out at Motherwell at the start of the season.
If he goes, Simon, I think it's all right.
Well, yeah.
If it lingers, it's difficult. Yeah, I mean, like he's gone, exact he's situation. Going. He's the guy's constant, isn't it?
The guy is under huge pressure, right? The plight there at Rangers at the moment, they've started the season terribly. The last thing you need, you know yourself, it's a difficult a job enough without players down in tools when they're on the bench. Mm-hmm. I think it's unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's thank Billy for his time. We'll bring in Stevie back to the other side of Glasgow and see what Stevie's making of last night's debacle in Kazakhstan.
I'd like to talk about that shambles last night, but first of all, the Rangers fans have got absolutely every right to be raging with Mingemani. The clue is in the title, professional football player. Mm-hmm. Try to be professional. Celtic the same, carry on with Mark Viduka, probably before your time, Gordon.
Oh, I remember that. Just.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same as it. This is the band of paying his wages and this is the way he beats them. It's crap, right? But anyway, so good riddance to him. Last night, first of all, Maeda's got to score that. Mm. We're back to Baldy Maeda. No composure. Go 26. We suffered that for a long time. Then last year, fantastic, player of the year. Finally thought he'd cracked the code and we're back to where he is. Something's happened. I think he might be away. Particularly if his board want to balance the books, don't be surprised. I called that 2 weeks ago. If you remember, I said we won't buy anybody before the playoff, and if we don't make it, we might sell somebody, and that might very well be him. That's the first point. Second point, penalties. Did we not learn anything for the Scottish Cup final? Aberdeen showed you how to take penalties. You can just look at James Tavernier, how he takes a penalty. I mean, he gets plenty of them, you know, so there's plenty of evidence there. High into the net, Superman couldn't save them. We put penalties at a decent height, giving the keeper a great chance three times. And we've got a captain there and our best penalty taker. And yet we let Adam Eder, a guy short in confidence, players on his back, no game time, no pressure, Adam, on you. You go first. What's going on? Nonsense, right? Celtic deserve to be out because they didn't do enough to win. And I said to you repeatedly over the last three, four times I've phoned, you're getting into the Champions League with Yang and Forrest. You must be joking. Well, there you go. We're out on my backside. And what it means to the average Celtic fan, apart from the obvious disgust, on a more basic level, I look forward to going to the game on a Saturday with my son, having a couple of pints, maybe getting a wee bite to eat, and then going home later on the Saturday night. That's not going to happen now. The games are going to be on a Sunday. You meet your work the next day. So that wee bit of leisure time, that wee bit of bonding time with your family, that's a way in on now. That's just a wee aside. The whole thing's a disaster.
See, Celtic are ripping Stevie's family unit apart, and I agree with him. Makes my work schedule goes in the bin because of this. So that's the real important stuff. On penalties, then, interesting points. It's not one we've discussed yet. do you subscribe to the cliched notion that, you know, it's just a lottery, or does Celtic deserve criticism?
It's not a lottery, I don't think. I argue it should be the easiest way to score a goal, but you add the pressure, and it's not. I've been there. It's not.
Because Stevie says it's two back-to-back really bad penalty shootouts in the space of a couple of months.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I don't buy into who steps up. I mean, they might have pre-planned that, or they might have
said who fancies it.
Yeah,
which is important.
And that could be as simple as that.
A centre forward should be confident enough. I think so. 12 yards.
I think so. Unopposed, but you add pressure in, it changes everything. I think I agree with Stevie, is over the actual playing time, Celtic have to create more. They have to take one of their chances last night. They have to go into it with a lead from Celtic Park. I can't focus on the penalties weren't great. I get that.
What do you think, Jim? Because it's one of those things, like mere mortals like me, you have to maybe assume there's just something, because we've never been in that situation. But from the outside, you do think Eders and McCowan's, you think you would just never hit it like that. You can miss, because of course you can, and the keeper can save it. But you would just never hit that one that's not that quick. It's not low, it's not high. It just doesn't even threaten to tick any box. But like I say, easy for me to say.
Listen, you know, yeah, there is the pressure of it and the you know, responsibility, and you know what's at stake, and you've got to be able to handle all of these things. But I still think technique and practice are the two main things. So does Celtic practice penalties? I don't know. Does the manager leave it to the players at the game? Because you make that many substitutions now, sometimes your initial five might not be on the pitch, or these kind of things. But ultimately, I think Stevie's point's right. They've got to be better. Technically, you've got to be better. I think players have to practice some more. I mean, we've seen so many horrendous penalties recently. I mean, I've seen Celtic not so much last night, but you see so many players complicating a penalty these days, just trying to make it so difficult rather than, as I say, work on their technique. Yep. And I just think that it was a poor execution, but you shouldn't be missing three out of four penalties if they're taking them last night, or five penalties. And I just think that that's not good enough. So, yeah, I do think there's a technical aspect of it, and Celtic failed on that side last night.
Can't believe Dyson made his hairstyle. He's getting the blame now as well.
Thank you. Which ball did he go to, David, being rubbish? That's what I want to know. But the follically challenged, see, they're up in arms about it.
But he's made the choice. Anyway, we're going to move on. If you want to listen to the show without adverts, by the way, got an interesting one for you. You can actually now sign up to Rayo Premium. So it means you can enjoy Super Scoreboard without the interruptions. There's a free trial on the go at Clyde1.com using code Clyde One. Subscription automatically renews at $3.99 a month at the end of that trial period, but you can cancel any time. So check it out, full T's and C's at Clyde1.com.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European football coverage with The Drake, neighbourhood gastropub. Watch live sports in the west end of Glasgow.
Yes, we're building up to kick-off in Bruges. Rangers have named an interesting team, one that's got you all debating, so there's still time to squeeze your calls in. Are there any optimists out there? Any dreamers? Any of you who think that Rangers can pull this off? Because what a turnaround it would be. Just imagine it after that game last week. 20 minutes gone, people leaving, booed at half time, booed at full time, followed up with a disappointment against St Mirren. Ham Ziggerman spat the dummy, he's gone. Imagine all of that ended with you going into Sunday's game against Celtic on the back of a famous win tonight. So any optimists and dreamers,
Billy would
love
be
to hear from you.
Season book back, I know. He'd be looking for the
guy who gave it to him. Will be blocking his number.
It will change your diary as well, wouldn't it?
Because
if Rangers lose tonight, then both teams then would be playing in the Sundays.
The good thing is now, Clyde One Super Scoreboard is on a Sunday anyway, as you know. We've added that this season, but it is always, I think, just let's be honest, I think everybody, football fans, you accept games are going to be moved to Sunday for TV and it's going to happen, but you'd like to have a bit more
because the Champions League, because one of their teams in particular, you know, would be in the Champions League. I think the reputation of Scottish football,
exactly, there's that, the other one. I mean, 100%, we need one of them to be in.
They kind of get rubbished about anyway, but it's getting so difficult now because I mean, there's England, was it 9 teams in Europe this year? So obviously with the riches they've got and the expectations they've got, their coefficient is going to go up and up, and yours is going backwards. So it's going to be even more difficult for clubs to qualify, you know, in seasons to come.
I joked about it earlier. I get the way rivalry works, so it's fine. I get in the moment, you see your rival lose, crash out of Europe, you think it's funny, they would do it to you. But that just goes round and round. So the next time that your team can't get into Europe because we don't have any places, that's how this happened.
Yeah,
so again, I'm not expecting Celtic fans to celebrate Rangers tonight and vice versa. That's rivalry. It makes this city spin. But ultimately, it does sort of just self-fulfill then, and that's why... Yeah.
You know, it does become,
because it'll affect you, it'll affect your team.
Of course it does. But we mentioned you can have a lucky the draw, or the draw can go against you depending on who you draw. Celtic drew Kaira, Almat from Kazakhstan, and that should have been a tie that Celtic were good enough to qualify from. Gordon, I don't think there's any doubt about that whatsoever. And I know we spoke tonight about lack of signings, or lack of quality signings for that matter, and areas of the pitch Celtic could be stronger in. But I still, we mentioned they still had enough chances without playing well to win the game, and weren't clinical enough over two matches. Celtic were more than good enough to win that game and underperformed at the vital moments.
This is the innocence of not being entrenched in that rivalry. So you two explain to me how it works. So see, in 2 years, if Rangers win the league but they can't get in the Champions League, do the fans go, at least we had that night in Kazakhstan? You know,
probably some fans probably will. Yeah. We managed to spoil the party, you know. But I think it is, it's a we know for Scottish football, and the reputation of Scottish football, is great to have our clubs in, but you also want to compete. When Celtic lost 7-1 to Borussia Dortmund again, people are always mocking Celtic. Then obviously they bounce back and then you get a bit of credibility. You've got to earn the credibility for Scottish teams. I think they've got to work really hard.
Well, how nice would it be if Aberdeen and Hibs could surprise a few people tomorrow? You see either of them doing it.
I went for narrow wins for both last week, and I got it wrong. I think it's difficult for both.
I think Leicester Warsaw looked as if they were a good side, because Hibs have been playing well. Aberdeen came back, but they had a man sent off.
Yeah,
you know. So again, you would have to think it'd be a very, very difficult task. But I'll be interested to see how Rangers do tonight. I mean,
I think because
as I say, they've played such an attacking side.
See, just to hope though that can Aberdeen or Hibs, or Rangers for that matter, can they be Kaira Almaty though? Do you know what I mean? Like at Bodo some Glenn. Point can you cause a shock just because these things happen? You meet a team that's off it. That's really what
how many times you hear the football cliche, 2-0's a difficult scoreline. Well, Rangers are effectively 2-0 down. So if they score the first goal tonight, and Club Brugge were so far ahead, particularly in the first half, you know, it does put a wee bit of doubt. Their fans might get a wee bit anxious. They might get a bit nervy, all these sort of things. The first goal is paramount when
Who's
it comes to a situation.
Who's the most likely
like
then? Aberdeen, because they're level in the tie?
Yeah.
Just quite simply.
Yeah, Aberdeen. I think so.
And FCSB,
I know Hibs wouldn't have been in the last round and won.
Also,
but I think
FCSB didn't look brilliant either, did
no.
they?
No, they went
Aberdeen.
Brilliant.
We will see.
Right, what about this teaser? It's actually quite a difficult one. I always think that's semi-recent knowledge, because Rangers actually haven't played in many. So Joe and Motherwell emailed in fulltime@clyde1.com asking you to name the last six Rangers players to score in a Champions League playoff tie. It's a bit sneaky in the sense that these six, it's only over two games or two ties. So Danilo last week.
Yep.
And
Tavernier.
And Tavernier plus all the remaining ones is from the same tie.
Well,
you're looking for, it's against PSV a few years ago, if that helps you.
Simon, on you go.
It's going to be Clue Central.
I've got a guy in my head, but I just can't get his name.
Talk to me about him. Describe him to me.
Wide player. Had a
not wide in shape, not wide like.
He had a purple patch.
Ryan Kent.
He was scoring a few goals.
I think you're on him. It was a really good goal against PSV. Moved on to France after. He was on loan from Brighton, wasn't he? Rangers fans wanted to keep him, couldn't afford him.
No, listen, I can't.
Sima?
Sima.
Oh, right. Sima, right.
You've got three to get. Up. Oh, this is going to be. I'll just need to give you clues.
There's no way we're going to get this.
Okay.
Was that a clue for Sima?
In that era, I was going through the ones where obvious, like Goldson, because he played a lot of games, set plays, that kind of stuff.
What about
Balogun?
Two Welshmen on the list.
Aaron Ramsey.
No, Matondo. Yes,
Matondo.
The other one.
That one.
I'm sure he's Welsh. I hope he's Welsh. Midfielder just left last year. I get kind of flattered to deceive. Never really hit the heights Rangers fans wanted him to. Scored a few goals at the start. Bad injury. Was a kid at Man United, I think. Derby.
You can keep giving me clues. I've not got a clue. Just say Welsh would have been enough. I should have got it. If you get it in Wales, because there's not that many.
Tom Lawrence.
No.
I'm just going to.
Is there another one?
The last one's a striker, like traditional number nine. Always thought of the great hairline, if that matters, since we're on about people's hair. Played and scored against Rangers in a previous Champions League. What's the point? No, exactly.
Why?
His name's Antonio Čolak, and we're leaving
Čolak,
for the evening.
And we're supposed to get that. There's no chance.
Teaser's wasted on you two.
Aye,
anyway,
definitely.
Big night for Rangers. We'll watch with interest. Whatever happens, you better believe this is the place to reflect on it tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. You know the drill. Tune in, give us a call, send us a tweet, let us know how you're feeling about all things football related. We'll have two big games for Hibs and Aberdeen tomorrow. What can Rangers do tonight? Quickly, very quickly. Scoreline prediction.
I'm going to go for 2-1 Bruges.
Simon, quick.
2-1 Bruges as well.
We're back at 6 tomorrow. Have a good night.